بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن أبي أمامة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قيل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي الدعاء أسمع؟ قال جوف الليل الآخر ودبر الصلوات المكتوبات. رواه الترمذي. حضرت أبو أمامة رضي الله تعالى عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked which dua is most likely to be accepted. أي الدعاء أسمع. Which supplication is most likely to be accepted? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم replied, that dua which is made in the latter part of the night. جوف الليل الآخر. That dua which is made in the latter part of the night. ودبر الصلوات المكتوبات. And after the fard salat. After the fard salat, like how we made fajr now with jamaat, duas are accepted at that time. So inshallah we'll discuss today some aspects of dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Allah has exhorted us to supplicate to Him. Allah said, ادْعُونِي, make dua to me. أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ, I will answer your dua. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي, those who are arrogant and proud of engaging in dua to me, in supplicating to me, the word Allah used here, Allah said, ud'uni, make dua to me. And in the next verse, Allah said, ibadat. Inna alladhina yastakbiruna an ibadati. Mufassirin, scholars say, ibadat here means dua. Those who feel they do not want to make dua and turn to me, they are proud of themselves, they are arrogant. Allah says, sayadkhuluna jahannama dakhirin. They will enter Jahannam in a very disgraced condition. Therefore, it is imperative we should always engage in dua, turn to Allah. Allah loves it when we make dua to Him. In one riwayat it comes, in dunya we will ask a person several times, and the person becomes upset and angry with us. They don't come back here again. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry with us if we don't keep on going to Him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam therefore said, even if it means you need a shoelace, something so trivial, petty, then to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. The lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een, they would engage and they would resort to dua. Any problem, any need, any hajat, whatever it may be, the very first thing they went was unto the musalla, they would engage and beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah's unseen help and nusrat would come to them. So it is very important that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the latter part of the night. Alhamdulillah, we wake up for Sehri. It's an opportune time to make the Hajjud Salat and to engage in dua. We don't have the ability to make lengthy duas, even if it's a few minutes, but raise our hands in solitude, beg and cry from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala used to say, that مَنْ يُكْثِرُ قَرْعَ بَابِ الْمَلِكِ يُوشِكُ أَنْ يُفْتَحَ لَهُ. That person who continues knocking and knocking and knocking at the door of any king, soon the door will be opened for him. He goes the first time, perhaps the door is closed or the person is not attended to. But he goes several times, he keeps on knocking and asking and asking. Finally, the king will open the doors for him. Allah is the king of all kings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly when to open that door. The problem is we become frustrated very easily, very quickly. And you'll see the next hadith coming. So therefore, knock and knock and knock, not just once, repeatedly. Continue knocking on the door of Allah. Beg and beg and beg, whatever your need is. وَمَنْ يَدْعُ اللَّهَ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُ عِنْدَ الْكَرْبِ. And that person who in times of prosperity, he's got plentiful, he's got good health, he's got wealth, he's got comfort, he's got everything of the dunya, at that time still he engages in dua and he still begs from Allah, then Allah will most certainly help him when he is in time of difficulty. Allah Ta'ala tests us, Allah examines us. Allah puts us into a test. That when we have got plentiful, are we turning to Allah or not? Or is it only when we are in need we turn to Allah? Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَآ بِجَانِبِهِ. When we bless man with plentiful of the world, then he turns away, he moves far away, he does not make dua. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرْ. The moment some difficulty, some calamity befalls him, then فَذُو دُعَاءٍ عَرِيدٍ. Now he engages in long, long duas. Examination time, everybody is running to the musalla and making dua and asking for dua. Got a court case, Allah save us. Person is now running to dua. If you got some sickness, then you're going to dua. We should be making throughout our life. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Fi sarra wa dharra. Times of happiness and calamity, they would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to turn to Him. It is mentioned in hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah la yastahi an yamudda al-abdu yadayhi fayas'aluhu fayaruddahuma khaibatayn. Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned this riwayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems it inappropriate that his banda raises his hands to him and begs from him, and Allah turns back those two hands empty handed. Allah will never send the two hands empty handed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill the person. Allah will grant the person whatever he is asking for. Now ulama explained, sometimes you make dua for a certain thing. Simple example, a person wants a house, a certain type of house, a certain type of car, whatever it may be. And he's making dua, and he's making dua, and he's making dua. But that particular thing that he is asking for, he is not granted that. So he feels to himself that my dua was not answered. So many people say, Manana, I'm making dua, 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 nothing's happening. Something is wrong. Therefore the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يزال يستجاب للعبد. A person's dua is always answered by Allah. There are a few conditions. مَا لَمْ يَدْعُ بِإِثْمٍ. As long as he's not making a dua for some sinful thing. He's not asking for something haram. If the transaction, the deal is going to be a haram deal, and he's asking Allah to fulfill that for him, that dua and that desire, then that is not permissible. Allah does not answer such a dua. أَوْ قَطِيعَةُ رَحْمٍ. Oh, he's making dua that a certain person, relative from his family, now ties must be broken off from that person. Then that dua is not answered. So if he's asking for a guna thing, that will not be answered. He's asking for family ties to be broken, that dua won't be answered. مَا لَمْ يَسْتَعْجِلْ. Otherwise, all his duas are answered as long as he is not hasty. قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا الْإِسْتِعْجَالِ. Sahaba asked, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, what do you mean by being hasty? قَالَ يَقُولُ, Nabi Kareem said that this person says, قَدْ دَعُوتُ وَقَدْ دَعُوتُ. I made so much of dua, فَلَمْ أَرَى يُسْتَجَبْ لِي. And I can't see my dua being answered. فَيَسْتَحْسِرُ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ. What happens? Then he loses hope and he stops making dua. وَيَدَعُ الدُّعَى. He abandons dua. So this is our problem. We make dua, dua, dua. We see no results. We abandon dua. And that is what Allah Ta'ala does not want. Allah loves it when we turn to Him and we cry and we beg and we beg and we beg. In the simple example you always give, if a father loves his child or grandchild, grandfather loves the grandchild, and he wants to give him that certain sweet that the child wants, that candy. But now he loves to see that pitiful face and he likes to see the child moaning and growing and crying. He gets some enjoyment out of love and muhabbat for the person. So he picks up the candy, and as the child is going for it, he picks it up higher and higher and higher. And just when the child breaks down in tears, he runs and gives it to him, and in fact gives him more. So sometimes a person, Allah Ta'ala is waiting for him to turn and turn. That is why ad-du'a'u mukhul ibadah. We mentioned the other night. What is ibadat? Ulama say at-tadallul. Where a person shows humility, he shows his total dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He rubs his forehead onto the ground. And that is why the hadith of Rasulullah is mentioned, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ فَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى. The time when the banda is most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when he is in sajda. Why? His forehead is on the ground. He is a slave. Allah, you're my master. فَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى. Make abundant dua in sajda. So Allah ta'ala wants to see this tadhalluliness, this humility, that we are being subservient to Allah. We are Allah Ta'ala's slaves. Allah is our master. This is the essence of ibadah. Dua wa mukhul ibadah. So a person begs for something, Allah wants to see that begging from us. And as long as he does not ask for something haram or breaking of ties, and he is not hasty, Allah will answer the dua. As I mentioned sometime, Allah does not give us the particular thing we want. Why? Either Allah gives us something far better and beneficial for us. Now we do not know, we are asking for that particular car, and our dua is answered, we get that car tomorrow, there's an accident, or the car is hijacked or stolen. See, now we didn't understand. We asked for a car, and Allah did not give us the car. Why? Because Allah was going to save us from this. Or sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes a bala, a big calamity that was coming, and we could not see it. Now we are asking for a house or a car. So Allah ta'ala, that dua that you made for a car or a house, Allah ta'ala, so as to say, uses that dua to ward off some calamity that was coming to. Perhaps the person was going to become very ill. So Allah ta'ala saves him from some illness on account of the dua he made for something else. And other times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give you the thing that you ask for in this world. But he stores it, he stocks it up in the akhirat as provisions for you. And when you go there, you see abundant nekis and good deeds. Ya Allah, I did not perform so much of salat. I didn't make so much of tilawat and roza. Where did all these nekis come from? Allah ta'ala will say, see, in the dunya you made all those du'as, I piled it up for you, I stored it for you here. These are provisions for you in the akhirat. Then the person will desire, how I wish more of my du'as was not answered in dunya, so I could have got more in the hereafter. So never lose hope in du'a. Always make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially after the fard salat, and at the time of the hajjud. Make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And very important, our earnings will be halal. There's an incident of a person who was traveling. Rasulullah says, يُطِيلُ السَّفَرْ. He undertakes a long journey. And he's أَشْعَثْ أَغْبَرْ. He's disheveled. He's full of dust. Any person looks at him will feel sorry for him. And he raises his hand. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ لَسَّمَاءِ. He's crying and begging from Allah. Ya Allah, give me this, give me that. He's making dua. But Rasulullah says, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ. His food was haram. وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ. The clothing was of haram sources. وَمَرْكَبُهُ حَرَامٌ. His conveyance was also from haram sources. فَأَنَّا يُسَجَّابُ لِذَلِكَ. How can such a person's dua be answered? So extremely important. Our earnings must be halal, and the food that we partake of must be halal. Unfortunately today, everywhere in the world, even in our country, we just see a halal logo, and we just see some type of certification, we don't even bother to find and verify. We consume all these type of meat and chicken and whatever it is. And because of this, whether we agree or don't agree, this is one main reason that because we are eating this type of food, then our du'as are not answered. Hajjaj bin Yusuf, who was a tyrant ruler, he was responsible for killing many, many ulama of his time and many great pious people. The moment he came onto the throne, the very first thing he saw, there are too many pious people, too many scholars and muhaddisin, mufassirin, and if they are going to make baddua against me, I'm going to lose my throne. So he was so cunning, so shrewd, he invited them, they innocently came to him, they did not know what was the position, and he gave them a meal. And after he fed them, he said, now you go and make what dua you want. The income was haram, I fed you haram. So the effect of it, your dua won't work against me. We have to be cautious. This is Sharia, this is Islam, this is Deen. We're not here to condemn any person. We as human beings, as the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are answerable in the day of Qiyamah. So Allah Ta'ala will say, but you had knowledge and you could have checked what dealings you are doing. If your transaction was correct, was it not correct, was it involved in a riba transaction? Was it something that you're deceiving the customer? Check with the muftis, check with the ulama, and make sure everything is Sharia compliant, as we say. Then there are so many other aspects of dua, inshallah, in the course of the next couple of days, or whenever Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, we will mention more, just one last hadith of Rasulullah, because it is Sunday today. Rasulullah has mentioned, da'watul mar'i al-muslim li akhihi bi dhahri al-ghayb mustajaba. عند رأسه ملك مؤكل كلما دعا لأخيه بخير قال الملك المؤكل به آمين ولك بمثل رواه مسلم. Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah SAW said, the supplication of a Muslim person for his brother in the latter's absence. We are sitting here, and if we have to engage in dua, and we make dua now for any person who is not present in this gathering, he is ghaib, we are hadir. So we are making dua, and we make dua for any particular person who is not in this gathering. Perhaps you're making for your wife, or for your parents, or for your child. There is an angel appointed by his head. Every time he supplicates, he makes dua for his brother, the angel says, Ameen. وَلَكَ بِمِثْلٍ And for you is a like thereof. The angel says, Ameen. You are making dua for your brother. Ya Allah, give him barakah, give him good health. The angel says, Ameen to that dua. And he says, and for you also must be the same. You must also get have good health. Who's making dua for you now? The angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. To make amal dua is so important, so important. It is mentioned that at times of fitna, trials and tribulations, when ummah is pareshan, then we should engage in dua like a drowning person. As Mufti Saliji Sahib in the Bukhari Khatam now, before Ramadan, in the end, right in the end he mentioned, times of fitna, what is the solution? That we should engage in dua. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kadua il gharqa, those who are drowning. Person is drowning, what is it? He screams and he tries his level best, he screams for help. Like that, we should be crying and begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh, ulama say that there were times in the past, mashayikh, in the night, rone wale bohat. There were many people engaged in crying in the latter part of the night, whether in the masjid or at home, crying for the ummah. Today, we don't see those rone wale. We only see sone wale, people fast asleep. And then we say, what's happening to the ummah? Why things that Allah wants us collectively, all of us individually, collectively, to turn to Him and beg and beg and beg. And Allah will open doors. When Allah opens the door, not like how we open a door, just one door and then the beggar comes and we close the door quickly, or half we open a little bit. Allah opens the door wide. And when Allah gives and He gives and He gives, then we become baffled. Ya Allah, so much you're giving me, I don't even deserve it. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.